At dawn on 6th of June 1944, photographer Robert Capa was crouched in the pounding surf of a Normandy beach. He was seeking what shelter he could find from a hail of enemy gunfire behind a 5-foot welded steel structure that resembled a giant hedgehog. Capa was carrying 3 cameras, as much black and white film as he could manage, and a Burberry trench coat. It was D-Day, and the start of the Allied campaign to liberate Northwest Europe from German occupation. Capa had just landed with Easy Company, 2nd Battalion, 16th US Regiment, on Omaha Beach. The water was cold, and the beach still more than 100 yards away, he wrote. The bullets tore holes in the water around me, and I made for the nearest steel obstacle. It was still very early and very grey for good pictures. The grey water and the grey sky made the little men, dodging under the surrealistic designs of Hitler's anti-invasion brain trust, very effective. Nearby, Private First Class Houston S. Riley, an American soldier serving with Fox Company, 2nd Battalion, 16th Regiment, was also struggling ashore. He was weighed down by his heavy equipment, wet through, and completely exposed. Riley was even more of a target for the German gunners than Capa was. His backpack and his boots had been hit by bullets, but somehow Riley himself was unscathed. Crouching low in the water, he pushed his inflated life jacket ahead of him as he made his way slowly to the beach. It was at this moment that Robert Capa took his photograph. Seconds later, Riley was struck in the shoulder by 4 machine gun bullets. As he lay wounded, 2 men pulled him to safety at the base of a bluff. One was a sergeant from Easy Company, he recalled later, and the other was a photographer with a camera round his neck and a press insignia on his shoulder. All I could think of was, what in the hell is this guy doing here? Capa's blurred and grainy photograph showed a grim-faced Riley crawling through the water against a backdrop of German beach defences. Within days, it would be published in newspapers and magazines around the world. In America, Life magazine felt it necessary to explain the photograph's technical imperfections when they published the image on the 19th of June. The accompanying caption, written in breathless haste by associate editor Dennis Flanagan, noted, "Crawling through the water, US soldier edges toward the beach. Immense excitement of moment made photographer Capa move his camera and blur picture." The Life team needn't have worried. The impact of Capa's photograph on the wartime public was instant. Nothing like it had ever been seen before. As the full story of the American struggle at Omaha Beach gradually emerged, the photograph of Private Riley assumed even more importance. Today, there is no question, this picture is one of the most famous photographs of the Second World War. It not only shapes our understanding of D-Day, but, thanks to the technical imperfections that so concerned the Life team, it has come to represent the authentic experience of modern combat. For many people, this image is the most important of Capa's career. The D-Day landings are regarded as one of the most carefully planned military operations in history. The Allies were under no illusion about the challenge they were facing. The Dieppe Raid of 42 had provided ample proof of the risks involved in landing troops from the sea onto a heavily fortified coastline defended by one of the best armies in the world. Planning had begun in 1943. The scale and detail of Allied preparations was unprecedented. On D-Day itself, the initial invasion force was made up of around 7,000 ships, 11,000 aircraft, and 156,000 troops. Of all the Normandy landing sites, Omaha Beach was the most challenging. 12 miles long, with high cliffs and narrow strips of sand, most of it was deemed unsuitable for landing. The Americans were forced to concentrate their efforts on one small 4-mile section between Saint-Honorine-des-Pertes and Vieilleville-sur-Mer. Here, a deep Crescent-shaped, sandy beach was backed by 150-foot-high grassy bluffs. The bluffs were intersected by four gullies, offering access to the hinterland beyond. But knowing how vulnerable it was, the Germans had made every effort to fortify the beach. 12 concrete strongholds had been constructed on the bluffs and cliffs, offering German troops a clear field of fire. The beach was turned into a potential killing zone. A series of mined obstacles, including the steel hedgehogs, stretched 250 yards out to sea to prevent landing craft from disembarking troops close inshore. Unless and until these defences could be cleared, American soldiers would have to run a 200-yard gauntlet of fire laid down by the German gunners. Allied planning for D-Day included extensive arrangements for the media. 558 writers, radio reporters, photographers and cameramen were accredited to cover the landings. But very few were allowed to accompany the first wave of troops ashore. The Americans agreed to allow just 4 press photographers, out of 18, to land with them at Omaha Beach on D-Day. John Morris, picture editor for Life magazine's London office, secured 2 of these places for Robert Capa and Bob Landry. Alongside were Bert Brandt of Acme News Pictures and Peter Carroll of Associated Press. To speed up the release of their pictures, the photographers were advised to hand over their exposed films to a beachmaster. He would arrange for them to be transported back to London. Here, the photographs would be developed, printed and captioned before being rushed to the Ministry of Information for censorship. Why was Robert Capa chosen for this assignment, you might think? After all, he wasn't American. Technically, he was an enemy alien, born in Hungary to Jewish parents. But the nature of D-Day made experience essential, and there was no photographer in the world with more experience than Capa. Already famous for his coverage of the Spanish Civil War and the Japanese invasion of China in the 1930s, Capa had covered the Second World War for Life magazine since 1942. He was a veteran of the Allied campaigns in Sicily and Italy, and had recently covered the landings at Anzio. As an experienced photographer, Capa knew the importance of choosing the right camera and position for the moment. For D-Day, he selected 2 35mm Contax cameras, one for close-up work, the other fitted with a telephoto lens for long-range shots. Like most American photographers, he also carried a medium-format 2.25-inch Rolleiflex camera and a bulky 5x4-inch speed graphic. Of all these, the only cameras he would willingly use under fire were the light portable Contaxes with their eye-level viewfinders. The Rolleiflex, designed to be held at waist height, was just too dangerous. Not surprisingly, Capa chose to leave the speed graphic behind when he boarded a landing craft at 3:30 a.m. on the 6th of June. It was at this crucial moment that things began to go wrong. Despite their elaborate preparations, the Allies could not control the weather on D-Day, and it was the weather that shaped events on Omaha Beach. Heavy seas were whipped up by gale force winds, and all the carefully laid plans started to disintegrate. Landing craft were swamped or blown off course, offering an easy target for German gunners. Beach defences remained intact, resulting in horrendous casualties. Those men that did make it ashore were disorientated, weakened by seasickness, separated from their commanders, and deprived of essential equipment. As the official record noted, within 10 minutes, Omaha had become a struggle for survival and rescue. "I didn't dare take my eyes off the finder of my contacts," wrote Capa. "I frantically shot frame after frame. Half a minute later, my camera jammed. My roll was finished. I reached in my bag for a new roll, and my wet, shaking hands ruined it before I could insert it in my camera. I shot for an hour and a half, and then my film was all used up. I saw an LCI behind me with a lot of medics getting out, and some getting killed as they got out. I felt a slight shock and I was all covered with feathers. I thought, what is this? Somebody killing chickens? Then I saw that the superstructure had been shot away, and the feathers were the stuffing from the kapok jackets of the men who were blown up. Then things got slightly confused. I was, I think, exhausted. Kappa returned to England and handed over his films to a courier in Portsmouth before returning to Normandy. Although he saw this as cowardly at the time, Kappa was wise to do so. In fact, all Kappa's actions on D-Day demonstrate not only that he was an excellent photographer, but that he possessed other qualities that no successful war correspondent can do without. Fieldcraft, dedication, caution, and compassion. This essential combination not only ensured Kappa's own survival, but that of Private Houston Riley, saved by Kappa to fight another day. It also helped ensure the survival of Kappa's photograph of Private Riley. You see, Kappa kept his films with him when he left the beach, delivering them safely to a courier in Portsmouth. But every other photograph taken on Omaha Beach, including Bob Landry's, was lost when the officer carrying them accidentally dropped his bag into the sea. Kappa's films, containing 106 photographs, finally reached Life magazine's London office late on Wednesday, 7th of June, 1944. One might think the battle to secure photographs of the landings had been won, but events would prove otherwise. Picture editor John Morris had just 12 hours to prepare the photographs for onward transmission to New York. Working under enormous pressure, Dennis Banks, a junior darkroom assistant, attempted to dry the newly processed negatives too quickly. Their fragile emulsion melted in the heat. Most were ruined. Miraculously, 11 survived, including the photograph of Private Riley. They were published by Life magazine in what Richard Welland described as one of the most powerful layouts of war photographs ever published. Today, nearly 70 years later, Kappa's photographs have lost none of their power. Over the years, they have informed and inspired. Don McCullen acknowledges Kappa as the inspiration for his own career. Steven Spielberg referenced them when filming the opening sequence of his 1998 film Saving Private Ryan. The story of Robert Kappa, Houston Riley, and the photograph which united them on D-Day is a remarkable story of survival against the odds. It serves as a constant reminder of the risks run by professional war correspondents and the importance of their contribution, not only by telling stories that need to be told, but in creating the raw materials of history. Kappa, an enthusiastic poker player, famously described his job as a gamble. On D-Day, Kappa's gamble paid off, but only just.